to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Maslin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us today for Get Yourself the Job on LA Talk Radio. I am Jennifer K. Hill, and you are joining me today with my dear friend and co-host, Brandon Maslin. Today, we thought we would kick off a special series, two parts, actually. Part one is how to work with recruiters. I know when I wrote my first book, Stop Hoping, Start Hunting, A Job Seeker's Guide to Finding a Dream Job, I devoted an entire section in the book on how to use recruiters and how not to use recruiters. And so we're going to explore that, and we're going to have some specialty recruiters joining us over the next few weeks, telling you about how to land that job in the specialty area that most interests you. So we're looking forward to sharing that with you. And if this is the first time that you're joining us, welcome. You know, this is a show where we take a 360-degree look at everything from A to Z that you might need to know to land your dream job. And perhaps you might already have it. Out of listening to one of these shows, a light bulb might go off and you go, huh, I might already be at my dream company. Maybe I just need to shift that. So we're going to be talking about that today and just touching on that a little bit. And we're also going to be talking about our worth. How do we connect to our worth? Sarah McCrum is joining us today from Australia, so we're super excited to have her here with us. And before we introduce you to her, though, I want to take a moment and I want to thank our sponsors, the people over at Markham Search LLC. Markham Search offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States, including temporary, executive search, and payrolling options. So please do keep them in mind for all of your recruitment needs. And now, without further ado, we have Sarah McCrum joining us.
Hi.
Hi, Sarah. It's such a pleasure to have you here with us. Thank you for being here a day later. What does Tuesday look like?
Tuesday looks sunny today and here in Australia, which is nice. And looks like a very positive day Tuesday.
Amazing. Sarah, thank you so much for being here. So I'm going to read to people a little bit about your bio. You and I connected via mutual friend, Gary Malkin, and you just astounded me. I just loved your energy. And I was like, gosh, I want to share your wisdom with the whole world. So we're going to be talking a little bit today about how do we own our worth? How do we relax into receiving that job, that raise, those things we want? So I'm going to share a little bit from your bio. Most people experience fear and stress around money, and they're not aware how much it's influencing their business, financial, and family life, as well as their impact in the world. Sarah McCrum is a teacher and author who helps people create a healthy relationship with money, which, side note, I personally am always open to learning more on that. And she helps them to grow their inner skills that they need in order to handle the challenges of money, business, family life, even job hunting, so that they can live more generously and fully towards themselves and others. She offers a practical, relaxed approach through her courses based on the principles of her book, get this, Love Money, Money Loves You, which is brilliant, by the way. And her work is founded on 30 plus years of personal practice and 22 years of master training with Chinese masters and 2 decades of coaching business owners and leaders. Over 10,000 people have joined her online courses about money, and now she's going to share her wisdom with us here today. So Sarah, it's a pleasure to have you here with Brandon. Brandon, I'm going to let you kick off the show because I've already gotten to pick Sarah's brain on my own and I could just talk to her for hours. So I'm going to hand it over to you to start the show.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Jennifer. And thank you, Sarah, for joining us. And Jennifer, I do like that we're heading into a time of recruiters because it is important. You know, one thing that's so vital is that not just knowing your personal worth, but obviously meaning the value you bring to an organization, but obviously what an organization should pay you. And I think one thing that we find, I worked at a feminist organization for 6 years, for example. And one of the things we found at the feminist organization was, you know, we also had gender pay gaps. That begins very early. It begins with men negotiating much harder for what they deserve and you know, women not. And so one of the issues that we're so important in feminism, if you will, not to mansplain anything, I never tried to, but one of the things that drove me nuts was the way that we negotiate our value. So Sarah, can you maybe talk about that? Knowing your worth early on, So because the whole point was that when you negotiated poorly in the beginning and you get 5% raise, 5% raise, that's not a big deal. But if you negotiated, if the guy negotiates for 100,000 and the woman negotiated for 60,000, it becomes a much bigger deal over a lifetime. So Sarah, maybe getting early, how early we should start with worth and et cetera.
Oh, well, definitely I would say that value and worth and values and self-worth all kind of packaged and rolled around in different directions would be an extraordinarily important conversation in any family, and probably one that's not easy to handle because many parents themselves don't have a very strong sense of it. And then it will depend, because of the way we think, it depends so much on the roles people take. And so some of what's happened but the in the gender area is simply because women have taken a different role from men, and therefore somehow the narrative was that that was a lesser role. One of the beautiful things that actually I learned really from writing my book, and I think it's a very important thing to understand, is that wherever money comes to you from and however it comes to you, that is your money, so to speak. So we often think that if money comes through our partner, it's lesser money. It's really theirs. It's not ours. But if it comes from them to us, that's just the same as any other business transaction, actually. It's the same as any other financial transaction. And I think that it starts to help to realize it's like money that comes to you is money that's come to you, and it's because of you. It's not actually because of somebody else. That's a little thing that starts to kind of make us think differently in terms of how we value ourselves. It is a really challenging thing because people do have to start from where they are. And if they start off with a sense of diminished value, I work with many women who have to, it's just like quite tough for them, I think, to find that place in themselves of knowing themselves, because it's more about knowing yourself and having confidence in yourself than it is about what do I do and all of those things. It's that central part that's so important.
That's so beautiful what you just said about knowing ourselves. And so what I'm hearing you say then is that once, if we can start there, or when we do that, that the fiscal realities come shortly thereafter. Is that correct?
It becomes easier if you know that. The way I see it is that every single human being has fundamental intrinsic value just because they're alive. And many of us have pinned our value on the jobs we've done, the salaries we've got, or the salary we've now lost because we don't have a job. And then we lose our sense of value. That's crazy. Your value didn't change because you don't have a job now. It's got nothing to do with it. And that person's value isn't greater as a human being because they make more money than you do. So I think we need to get this fundamental recognition that just by virtue of being alive, you are intrinsically and totally and utterly valuable. And no one and nothing can take that away from you. But you can pretend to yourself that it's not true, and you can tell the story that your parents told you, or your school, or your culture, or your religion, or whoever it was, and kind of pretend that somehow you're not valuable, but you are. And if you've got that in place, then you can start to look at what is the work I'm doing? What's the value of it? What do other people get paid for it? You can do that more mental work because you've got yourself in the right place in the middle. If you yourself is in the wrong place, it doesn't matter what you think about what that person earns, what I'd like to earn. It's kind of like all upside down from the very beginning. So you're never going to come out with a very good answer.
I love what you're sharing, Sarah. And this is why I think you and I immediately hit it off when we were connected a couple of months back, is I was looking back at my history and, you know, kind of the value that I thought I did or didn't bring. And I realized that I used to correlate as a human being my value to how much people respected me, admired me, told me I did a good job. And it was only, I just turned 40. It was only when I turned 38 that I was like, wait a second. I actually value me. I love me, you know? And it's like, when you take that time, I noticed I was feeling a little bit tense. Like, I'm not sure if any of you have ever had this experience where you feel kind of that tightness in your chest. And thanks to some of the work that I've done with Sarah and that I've learned from others, I was able, instead of going into that fear space, and notice that there's a direct correlation between fear and the energy of scarcity and lack. This person makes more. this person has more. I'm less valuable than that. And there's a physiological response to it too. And one of the things that I love that you teach, Sarah, and I would love for you to share a little bit, because I know it helps us not only in making more money, being more expansive and abundant in all of our choices, it just helps us feel better as human beings. And so I started to do one of the many techniques, which was box breathing. You know, right before we went on the show, I noticed I was feeling a little tense. So I started to breathe in to the count of four, hold for four, out for four, hold for four again. And I know you're a proponent of the fact that when you're in a relaxed state, that's when all of a sudden the opportunities come. Imagine if you're trying to negotiate and you're hanging on to something, right? You're holding on to it for dear life. And it could be negotiating a raise or negotiating what any sort of transaction. If you're holding on tightly, there's rigidity and there's no flexibility and flow. And that's kind of where the energy of money comes from, is being in the flow. So can you speak to that a little bit?
Yes, being relaxed about money. I speak to many people. I was talking to somebody who runs a business and teaches other people how to run businesses recently. And it dawned on him during the conversation that he had never, ever felt relaxed about money. He's pretty capable with it. And many people that I've met are extremely capable with it, but they're not relaxed about it. Now, anyone who's looking for a job is looking to work in a business. And if the owner of that business or the leadership team of that business are not relaxed about money, that's actually going to flow through the whole business. So that will affect you. And you will probably bring to it the fact that you're not very relaxed about money either, because it's pretty much the human condition, I think, at the moment. And some people say to me, well, how can you relax about money? You know, that's just not a topic you can relax about. What I can say from evidence, and this is over many, many years, is that when you relax about it, it actually works better. And this is a funny thing. It's not a psychological trick. It's actually that when you're relaxed, it affects your energy, your personal energy, and your personal energy affects everything. It affects the people around you, how they respond to you and how they feel in your presence. It affects your spirit. So are you kind of able to wake up and get on with the day, or do you feel like staying in bed and not doing anything? It affects the way you make decisions. Do you make the decision, or do you have another cup of coffee and say, I'll put it off until tomorrow? The decisions you make change your life really radically, especially if you do that every single day. So being relaxed puts you in a state where you're able to make better decisions, where you're happier and more at peace with yourself, so everyone feels better around you, and where you feel better inside yourself. And the funny thing is that all of that adds up to money working better for you, so to speak, than it does when you make bad decisions and you don't really show up for yourself and you're horrible to everyone around because you're just not in a very good mood today. So being relaxed is way more powerful than I think we have realized as a culture.
So powerful, Sarah. And that's the thing, is that there's this essence. You know, we can talk all day about negotiating. Like, perfect example, I just got called from an old job seeker I knew years and years back. And she called me and she said, Jen, I need help. I have this job offer and I don't know what to do. You see, the market's paying 70. And I told them I was making 70. And they offered me 55. And I said, what do I do? And we had to get into a whole conversation about worth and self-worth. And number one, you know, this is a recruiting and a money tip. In many countries around the world, and in many states, particularly in the United States, they have prevented employers from asking you how much you make, so you don't shoot yourself in the foot. And this person who I was talking to said, oh my God, Jen, I didn't know that. I didn't know that they're not, at least here in the United States, there as a frame of reference, in California, for example, I can't say, Sarah, how much do you make? That's illegal. And so the ramifications of that are, you have all the negotiating power. I once wrote an article, it's like playing Texas Hold'em poker, and you have pocket aces because they don't know what you were making before. So all that shows up to the table, you could go in asking for $150,000 or $70,000, depending on whatever the market will bear. It's how much are you willing to receive? That's the question. So sky is the limit, and you could literally turn down every single offer that's not $150,000 until somebody is willing to pay you what you want. I'm picking an arbitrary number. But I would love to know from you, like, so say somebody's relaxed, they followed your techniques, and please, by the way, we're going to talk about Sarah's website where she has some beautiful meditations around money to kind of soften and ease into it. Some of them are as short as 4 or 5 minutes and super easy to listen to. Aside from the relaxation part, what are the actions that we can take to be in harmony with money and abundance and with our self-worth so that if you find yourself in a position where you get to speak X, you get to say $100,000 or you could say 50, how do you own it? And then how do you show up and add $100,000 worth of value? I think those are the two things. Some people go in and they're like, I'm going to ask for 150 and the most they've ever made is 70, no problem. Do you trust yourself to provide $150,000 worth of value? So energetically, can you talk about that?
Yes, I think there's a room here for a really quite radical honesty with yourself. That makes a huge difference. So the first thing you need to do is be really clear what you want. This is something that's, some people are very clear what they want and a lot of people are not. They're kind of like, oh, well, I want more than I've got at the moment. Or I just want everything to be better, but I don't really know how. Or I don't even know what I want, but there's just this vague sense of dissatisfaction. When you're clear what you want in a way that you can connect with, and I'll explain in a moment what that means, that has tremendous power. It's really interesting. So a lot of people, they say, I want this because their friend said they should get it, or because somebody else is making that, or because their parents said, you're worth so much, you know, why? Whatever it is, there are the stories that go in our heads that make us say a number, to follow your example, Jennifer. But we don't really resonate with it. It doesn't feel right. It may be too high, it may be too low. It doesn't really matter, but it's come from your head. Now, somewhere deeper inside you, there's a number or a circumstance. It's often not about the numbers. It's so often actually about the whole kind of condition in which you work and the experience of work. There's a sense inside you of what you'd really love. And when you feel that, your face lights up and it's not too much and it's not too little. And to me, that's the sweet spot. That's where it's much easier to get somebody else to agree with you. When you find your own personal sweet spot, there's a power that you have there that you don't have when you're just coming from your head and what you think you ought to want. So the clarity that I would look for is the clarity of what you want that lights you up, that literally you tell your friend about it and there's this big smile on your face that you can't control and your face can see it's like, oh, wow, she would really love that. That's the most powerful place to be in any kind of negotiation, actually. And the ideal is that the other person in the negotiation is there too. Now, I know that might sound a little bit much if you're trying to negotiate with a large company or something like that. But I think that it's worth mentioning because really and truly, if we think about how it should be and how it could be, we shouldn't be having to hide this and hide that so we can work something out. Like in my company, we would be totally open about all of those things. And our intention is to come to an agreement with the other person that we're both truly happy with. So we're not trying to get them down as much as we can. And they're not trying to get us up as much as we can. We're trying to find a fit, which makes sense. But of course, that's not the world where most of it is. But I think if you can find that level of clarity that lights you up, you then find an honesty inside yourself in terms of the value that you can create. Now, if you really go into that job and you work really well, you contribute tremendous value. They say you should aim to contribute 5 times the value that you're paid. So if you're paid 100,000, you should contribute at least 500,000's worth of value. But if you go in and really do your best and you show up and you show up with integrity, it becomes a lot easier to ask for more later because you know that you've created that value and you've earned it. And it's much easier for somebody else to reward you with it. So it doesn't matter so much. You might have made a mistake even in this negotiation or that negotiation, but it's how you show up every single day that will have far more influence on the next negotiation.
Yeah, you mentioned that smile and ease thing, you know, and I think that is wonderful. And I know a lot of people, myself included, that have a lot of trouble charging, whatever it is. I also billing or invoicing, very common actually in the coaching field because it's so intrinsically tied to a lot for a lot of us. What we do for a living is we talk to people for free if we could, And then charging. And it's always, I have, my wife does all my billing, because if it was up to me, I would charge a fraction, you know, and she pushes me outside of my comfort zone. You know, I have a saying that I've said for years, which is uncomfortability is my friend, pain is not. So I don't mind that being uncomfortable, as long as I'm not, it doesn't feel inauthentic. Like, it's always a little frustrating to me when everyone will say to me, "Oh, great, Brittany, you'll be the cheapest vendor we have," you know, and that's a common boundary for me. I see it in entertainment, living in LA. I saw this a lot. Michael Beckwith does some good trainings on money too, Jennifer. And so what do you have to say to that? Because that's one of the biggest, I went on my own last year and I see that. I see that with my colleagues too. What we charge, how we charge, et cetera.
I see that everywhere. And I work with loads of coaches. So it's an everyday story. And I was the same. And I mean, I'm sure I could charge a lot more than I do, but I've chosen my place where I'm comfortable. I think especially for those kinds of situations, the key is in the sales conversation, first of all, and in knowing the value that you're providing to the other people. When we make that negotiation or the request for money about me and what I want or what I need, you will feel extremely uncomfortable in it. Mm-hmm. If you've had the right conversation with somebody, so you really understand what they want and you really understand what's holding them back, what's getting in their way, that's stopping them at the moment, and you know that you can help them because it's the right person and you're the right person, then whatever the price is that you've decided it should be, or your wife's decided in your case, it's easy to ask for it, because the value that you're delivering in a coaching situation is probably 10 to 100 times what you're asking, if not way more than that. I actually did a calculation once with one client about the value that my coaching had given him. And we had to stop at $10 million. And he'd probably paid at that time, it was quite a long time ago, maybe 10,000. And we just couldn't go beyond the 10 million because it got silly. So I think that it's how you... When you know that your job is to provide value to the other person or to the company that you're working for, it's not about what am I going to get out of this. It's what am I going to contribute to this, because that makes you feel good. And then
I love that.
I'm going to ask a price, because otherwise I'm not going to do it. It doesn't work if I don't get a reward.
I love that you talked about that value you bring. It's one of the things I talk a lot about in the work that I do around professional identity, which is, what's the impact you want to have? And that's how you get to the top. I mean, the goal is great. Have a goal. You want to be C-suite, VP, director, whatever you want. But what's the impact? And I think the people I know who rise, yes, they have these lofty ambitions, but they also have this is the impact I'm going to have. This is the value I'm going to bring. And that, thank you, because that really just, I can only speak for an N of one, which is me. That really resonates for me to hear that, to know that I do believe that. I am very selective on who I take, even as a lawyer and as a recruiter. I mean, as recruiter and then tenfold as a coach. And in that selectivity, I love that idea that if you have that integrity, you're taking on people that you truly believe you can bring value with for. And so I love that. And also, but this is my own stuff, I love the idea that I could take me out of it, which is my own vulnerability.
Yes. And then you just need to be honest to yourself in terms of what do I need or what do I want for doing this work? So you take, I find if I, especially there have been times when I really needed money. I started off in a strange country where I didn't know anybody and no money, and I had to make things work. So I really worked up from the bottom. I found that I have to respect my own wishes. That's the vision and the clarity that I talked about. But in the conversation, my job is to help that person create or achieve what they want. That's what I'm there for, and that's what I'm being paid for. And so I live in their potential, what we're creating together in the conversation, which is essentially a sales conversation. And that's such a comfortable place, because they're giving me the value. They're telling me what it means to them. I'm not having to make anything up. Then the price is just like, well, it's obvious and it's cheap. So it becomes very easy to ask for it. Whereas if it's about, oh my God, I've got to pay my rent, and if I don't get $2,000 out of this conversation, I'm absolutely stuffed. That is an extremely painful, difficult conversation. The other person will be able to smell it from a mile away. So we this service kind of thing so much elevates human beings. If we can get into that place where we know that our work is in the service, is a contribution to somebody else and something else, something bigger than us, then it's really easy, even if you're in a desperate situation.
Yeah, you hit on something so powerful, Sarah. And that's the idea that people, I was just listening to something about this the other day about the science of our face, and that our emotions, that scientists can tell you what is happening in somebody's mind just based on the expression of your face. My vocal coach says that to me all the time. He's like, Jen, you're like litmus paper. Whatever is happening just shows up all over you. And so we go in, and it's kind of like, gosh, there was a great analogy I'd heard in a program years ago. It's a racket. I think I'd heard this in Landmark Worldwide. It's like you're selling candy in the front, but gambling in the back. You know, there's this whole thing. You're like, hey, hire me. I'm great. You know, whether it's as a coach or as an employee. And yet in the back, you're like, I'm not going to survive this. I'm not going to get through the week. If they don't hire me, it's the end of the world. And we think we're fooling people. That's the irony. And what I love, I think it was last week when we were talking to Jeffrey Gitomer about this. You know, he specializes in Napoleon Hill. And I remember being 18 years old and reading Napoleon Hill and how this man devoted 20 years of his life to researching the wealthiest men. It just happened to be strictly men, sorry, Brandon, of that generation. And it was all focused on what had them be successful. And he did not get paid, if I recall, for 20 years. And he went on to be probably the best-selling author of all time. And I think that's the thing that you're talking about too, Sarah, is it's about adding value. It's not about, I'm going to take from you so that way I can receive. And, you know, sometimes I tie in Disney movie analogies, and my latest favorite movie that I highly recommend is Raya and the Last Dragon. And I've been like, I just love the storyline of it because the theme is that you have these five tribes who are all trying to take the same resource. And you can apply that to any aspect of life, the resource being money or a commodity or whatever it might be. And they do everything they can. And there's no bad guy in the movie. All there is this energy of fear and greed and taking. And we don't realize that that energy is what destroys our friendships, our business relationships. I've personally gone through that. And I remember my first job, I started making a lot of money very quickly. And I was bringing in millions of dollars a year for this company. And so I got on my high and mighty horse and I said, I'm bringing you guys in a lot of money. I could do this with my eyes closed. You guys aren't providing anything to me. And man, oh man, if I could go back and apologize to Gary Matura and Karen Farrington, if you ever hear this episode, this is my deep apology. I took it for granted. Like sometimes when you work for somebody else, you think, oh, you know, they're taking all the money and I'm bringing in, I'm doing all the hard work drama, you know, victim consciousness. And now having owned my own company for many years, I have such profound respect because it's this beautiful harmony and dance like you were talking about. Yes, you give and then you receive and then you give and you receive. And unfortunately, sometimes that does fall out of balance and it is necessary to leave an organization where you're not feeling honored the way that you discussed earlier, Sarah, knowing your value. And you get to have conversations though. It doesn't have to be, I'm a victim of this company. It gets to be a process of clarification of here's where I'm adding value. Here's where I've increased productivity, efficiency, and performance. And here's why, you know, I think it's important that I feel honored and respected in the value I'm receiving. So it's not an energy like that taking evil energy from the Disney movie of that just devours everything in its path. It's literally the energy of, hey, let's dance together in this. How about I add more here? And what if it worked out here? And again, mine, mine, mine.
Yeah, it's really important to distinguish between receiving and taking. If you know that we're all, by being here, we receive. We constantly receive in life from the moment that we're born. And there's something very powerful about receiving and knowing that you can. And you receive money just like everything else. It's a very different energy from taking. That makes a big difference to the way that you feel. And in terms of value, again, like you can give or you can share what you have. The thing that I see is that where people are badly treated, This is a really powerful thing to understand. It's quite confronting. Where people are badly treated, what I found is they always treat themselves badly as well. And I don't mean, some people will often think, if people treat you badly, you treat other people badly. But I know many very kind, generous people who've been treated very badly in work situations, for example. But what I did find is that they were horrible to themselves. They were cruel, unkind, mean, nasty, like vicious. One person described herself as a dictator. I've met people who starve themselves, literally, physically, and cut themselves and things like that. And then they say, you know, I'm a really kind person, but they're not kind to themselves. Now, I understand why we are often not kind to ourselves, and there are many reasons behind that. But I think it's important to realize that if you want to be treated kindly by an organization or another person, the place to start is with you, and genuinely look at yourself as somebody who is worthy and deserving of kindness and give it to yourself, because that does actually change things around you as well. It needs to be real.
I love it. That is incredible, profound wisdom you shared there. And it certainly resonates for me in my life, in my journey. I am incredibly cruel to myself. It's one of the things I used to say to all my bosses, which is, you don't have to tell me what I do wrong. I've already told myself 199 times. And I had a great friend of mine say to me literally last week, like, well, stop telling yourself 199 times, Brandon. You know, like, you know, if you messed up, you messed up. And I thought, and I still do that, not as profoundly, but I do it. And it is so true that it empowers those that seek to take. It empowers them to take all of you and to hit you. You've already done the work for them.
You actually create an energy around you where that's what people will have to do. They somehow, your energy has a very powerful influence on what happens to you. And so when you have that energy around you, even if you don't want to, and you never meant to, like whoever meant to be really cruel to themselves, but that's what you create. And then that's what has to come. Even sometimes I've seen people who are actually kind people end up being really mean. We've all experienced it probably in a relationship where you say something horrible and you just didn't mean to. And you hate yourself for saying it, but it popped out of your mouth. And that happens in the dynamic between people. Now, we can't control the other person, but we can just feed ourselves with some kindness, some softness, some love, some gentleness, the things you'd give to a small child. That's how I always think of it. I'm like a small child on this planet doing things I've never done before. I don't really know how to do them. Like, do I really know how to run a business, how to be married, and how to have a really great relationship? Not really. And are there really great teachers? Not many. So I think I'm going to mess up quite often. But I would never punish a child for falling down or for not saying their sentences right. We used to do that and it didn't have a very good consequence. I think there's a lot of room for kindness towards ourselves, and it's something we can practice and pick ourselves up on. And even if you catch yourself being really mean, just say, oh, hold on a moment. I'm going to rephrase that. And then say something to yourself, just say something kinder, more gentle, so that you start to shift your internal energy, and you will notice it in people around you.
And I think that's one of the things that really helps with service in any business, whether you are an accountant, whether you're the CEO, whether you're the executive assistant, is that when you're in service to someone else, when you are, I call it authentic leadership. We can call it whatever we want. Servant leadership is a more common term. But when you are in service, it's actually a wonderful way of getting out of your head. It's one of the ways that I have intrinsically discovered my value is allowing people to in being in service to others, I've been able to receive their kindness back to me, which in turn has allowed me to be kinder to myself. And it does cause pain, and it does cause, whether or not we're being cruel to someone, by not delivering the value we can, or limiting ourselves, we are harming those that know that we have more to give. It might be. And so I think that's a beautiful way to hold it. But
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting dynamic around that, because what I've found is that when we are unkind to ourselves, we hold ourselves in a very small place, and of course, an unworthy and undeserving place. And actually what that means is we withdraw from the world in a way. We actually withhold our gifts and our greater contribution. And therefore, although we do it out of self-defense, actually what we become is selfish. And that's the irony of it, is it's actually a selfish thing to do, to let yourself get in that place. It's more generous to be kind and to allow yourself to be all you can be. And then you can share your gifts, whatever they are, however unique they are, you know, different or weird or something that somebody else doesn't have. But that's the beauty of who you are. And then you make a greater contribution. And of course, you then experience greater fulfillment. So there's a beautiful positive cycle that develops then that taps into everything we've been talking about.
That's beautiful. And I love that idea of value, valuing ourselves, being valued. And it's one of the things I discovered, that that's so much that human need. I worked at a company called Advancing Women Executives for 6 years. What I found when I was disconnecting was, yes, everyone wants to advance in their career, but we really want to be valued. And I think you bring up a beautiful point, Sarah, today, that our audience and everyone should learn, is that that so often happens first when we value ourselves. I love that you're hitting that point. And that is certainly my role, right? Picking up people, not hearing. And we get into that, I call it the funhouse mirror. You spend enough in a bad environment and you see yourself as this distorted image. And I think great leaders like you, Sarah, and I know Jennifer has done this for me time again, and so many other people. It's you all are the people who hold up that mirror and go, let me tell you what I see. Pretty great. And all we have to do is see it. Jennifer, any thoughts on that?
And see it for real. It's not about you're so awesome. You're so amazing. You're like, I hear that all the time. You're awesome. And actually you're not being very awesome at all. Like, you've just completely messed up, and it would be far better to be honest about it. I had a great interview yesterday, and the guy who's done the most extraordinary things with like warlords and drug runners and, you know, horrendous situations. And he said, you know what? Genuine always recognizes genuine. And he's done it by being genuine. And there's such a wisdom in that, that when you're genuine, whoever it is that you're showing up with, you will over time attract genuine. And that allows you to be more genuine and allows other people to be more genuine. And again, it's a virtuous circle.
Yeah, it's Sarah. We're going to have you on for other shows. I think we're going to need refreshers maybe every 6 months with you on this, because the wisdom, I just have to say, Sarah, it's so beautiful, like, to see my dear friend Brandon light up, because we both were kind of like, oh, the energy of this week is a little funky. And like, you just don't know what it is. And we're both like, oh, okay, well, let's just go with the flow. And just the smile on your face, Brandon, is just has light. I wish you guys could see it for those of you listening, if you can hear it in his voice. That's the gift that Sarah gives to people. That's the gift that we can give to ourselves, is that to be that tiny bit kinder, to be that voice. And I have a voice, I have two parts, and I've done work with my business coach on this. One part is Angel, and she's very nice and kind and likes to keep the peace. And the other part is Juicy, aptly named, and she needs to punish people. And that includes me. Oh, nope, you got out of line there. You got to get back in line. And it's okay to honor those parts of yourself and say, thank you. I respect and love and appreciate that you feel the need to keep me safe, because that's her job, is to make sure, punish the people who don't keep you safe, punish yourself when you get out of line. And it's like, but can we allow that piece to be there and empower and embolden the parts of ourselves that allow us to expand to the wholeness of who we are as human beings? And I'm not saying it's overnight. Sometimes it's like sticky bubble gum in your hair, Juicy. It's like she's there and it's like you're just getting it out. And sometimes you just got to get the scissors and cut it out of the hair, or take peanut butter or whatever you do. Very strange analogy. I have no idea why that came up. But we could talk to you for hours, Sarah, and I just love everything you shared. And I want to make sure, though, before we wrap up today, that you can just share with us maybe where people can go to find your book, to find, you know, your recordings. Please go download. I listen almost every day now, Sarah, to the recording of Money Pit. Oh, I love it so much. It just makes my soul happy, because it's 4 or 5 minutes. And who doesn't have 4 or 5 minutes a day to just listen to, hey, money loves you. What do you, you know, and just the flow of what you say, it just, and your voice is also extraordinary. So that helps.
Thank you. Well, the simplest place to access everything is my website, which is my name, sarahmccrum.com. It's Sarah with an H and mccrum.com. You'll find a money scorecard there where you can actually assess your relationship with money. I talk about the relationship with money at all, but obviously our work is very much tied in with money. You'll also find some recordings that Jennifer mentioned. On my YouTube channel, if you find somewhere in there, there is this recording that says it's called Love Money, Money Loves You. I think that's the one that Jennifer's talking about. So it is freely available. It's a video and it is an extraordinarily beautiful message, way beyond a Sarah McCrum message. It's very expanded and it makes you feel something about money that probably most of us have never felt in our whole life. And it changes our relationship with it. So my name is luckily easy to find. So you can just snoop around a little bit and find what you want.
Yeah, you're the only one who showed up on LinkedIn. I mean, there was a few more, but I figured I found the right one. And I can't recommend to anyone who's listening enough to go find Sarah. Jennifer, you're right. Energetically, weeks off, me and my wife are both exhausted today. And Sarah, I feel like you've injected me with a ton of caffeine or whatever it is. And I can't thank you enough. I sincerely just personally thank you. And I hope the audience finds this as much value as well, that virtuous circle is that you speak. It's not just you do have an eloquent voice. It is the power and genuineness, to use your word, in which you speak that I hope the people that are listening here. Again, I used to talk about executive presence. And now I talk about authentic leadership. And I just want to let you know, I think you exude that wholeheartedly. And I value that in anyone. And I think you are a master at it. So I just knocked my computer over, getting so excited about how great you are.
Thank you, Brandon. I'm not used to this kind of response. It's very generous.
It's great. It's fantastic. Jennifer, Sarah, anything else? Sarah?
Yeah. We're just so grateful. I think that maybe a few takeaways for everybody is just remember to own your genuine value. That's it. Your value is your value. Nobody needs to tell you whether it should be more or less. You get to choose, not even decide. You get to choose. What is my value? And own it and go out into the world and shine your genuine value and allow the right people who are going to value at exactly what you want to be valued at, you know, to receive that. So I think that's a beautiful message that we can all take into our days here and into our weeks. And thank you for tuning in wherever and whenever you're hearing the message you need to receive exactly at this moment. You know, thankfully, we're so grateful to be on iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, iTunes. You can find us on any of those programs. We also always upload our videos on YouTube under Get Yourself the Job as well on YouTube. And Brandon and I love to hear from you. So if you want to leave us comments on iTunes, please do so. We love your feedback and ratings are always appreciated and help us to grow our listenership and to bring Sarah's information and this information to more people. And we also invite you, if you want to email us, getyourselfthejob@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. And we thank you. You know, you are valuable. Walk away with that today. Thanks for being here.
Listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Maslin, only on LA Talk Radio.